of Colossians chapter 3. I know you grabbed your Bible first thing this morning. He said, we're in Matthew. No, we finished it. Only took 3 years, but we finished the book of Matthew. There was no rush, right? But we're in the book of Colossians. As you turn around and I was thinking, okay, Lord, where do we want to go from here? We're coming into the holidays, so we'll probably shift gears for that. And then the first of the year, we'll probably jump into another study that may take a little while. But really, I was thinking, Lord, where do you want us to go after Matthew? And like I said, my family calls me the Grinch. Because, you know, Christmas and all that. This is, you know, you guys know, right? I've been here long enough. You know, my philosophy is anything you put up, you gotta take down. So don't bother with that to begin with. You know, some of you are newer here. And you know, I'm not anti-Christmas. I enjoy those things. But, you know, my wife asked, she goes, you know, if I passed away, would you still put up a tree? I said, probably not. Right? Because you put it up, you gotta take it down. Well, actually, that's not true. Because, you know, driving around, some people have had their Christmas stuff all year round. So I'd probably be one of those guys too. So it depends on what it is. You know, maybe I'm just lazy. I don't know what it is, but it used to be, now correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, you would go into Walmart or Target or one of these stores and probably the end of October into the second week of November is when Christmas stuff just started to show up. Right? Didn't it used to be that way? You know, now it's like 4th of July, and then now they're bringing out the Christmas trees. Right? I mean, it's been unending. And I was like, oh, we gotta buy some of the stuff now because it may not be here because we started so early, right? We're on this cycle of kind of craziness. But all of that, one thing I kind of get heartbroken is often people will jump from Halloween to Christmas. And I think one of the most important holidays is just kind of glossed over. And that's Thanksgiving. The idea of having a thankful heart is so imperative. You know, as we go down to reflect, you know, the harvest. I didn't have any apple cider this year. Has anyone had apple cider? This is that time of year when, you know, I've got to get a glass of, I mean, I'll have to buy some cider this afternoon. You know? But you wrap up, you have the harvest. You start freezing and canning. Now the temperatures drop. And we start looking for soup and stews. Anyone else, right? And I told my wife, I said, we got to have some shepherd's pie. Right? That's a good hearty. Maybe it's got to start putting on an insulation layer to get me through the winter. I'm probably set for a couple winters, but. Right, you start gearing towards and have an idea of being thankful for all that we have. I think is something that's so underutilized. I know in my own life, right? We tend to take for granted the things we do have until we can't do it anymore. We forget how much God has blessed us and kind of have our hands out for more. And so this morning I want to stop and really think of this idea of having a thankful heart. So we're going to be in Colossians chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 15 through 17. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. I'll have the words up on the screen. But I want to just remind you of how imperative being thankful is. We have a warning. Paul told the young preacher Timothy that certain things are going to happen as we get towards the end of days. And I know there's a lot of buzz. Are we in the end times? I know we're closer now than we were before. As I look at what's taking place in our country, I'm not that old. But even within my lifetime, this country is not the same country that I grew up in. And I know some of you have been around the block maybe a few more times than me. And how much more you see a change around us. We look at all the turmoil that's taking place in the Middle East. And it appears to be some of these things are lining up with Scripture. It's like, okay, Lord, are we closer to your coming? And Paul told Timothy this in 2 Timothy chapter 3. It says, know that in the last days perilous times will come. It's interesting because in this case here, he doesn't talk about the wars and rumors of wars. He doesn't talk about global warming or ocean cooling or you know, he's not pointing to all those things. What he talks about is look at the heart of men. Ladies, you too, right? Look at the hearts of ladies. That as we get closer to the end, as we take God out, we've seen God removed from the public square. Right? Spending time on Facebook, and you post something that's religious, it's quickly under threat of being taken away. As we get closer to the day, look at the heart of men. And this is what he says here. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to the parent. I always thought that was interesting thrown in there. I was talking to a gentleman who is an assistant principal in an elementary school, and I asked him, what is the number one problem with kids nowadays? He goes, they're undisciplined. I get a few nods. These kids are not correctable. They do not take responsibility. They're turning on their parents. And if you don't believe this, I challenge you, especially as we get closer to the Christmas season, just go down and take a walk down the toy aisle and listen to some of the children of all their needs and wants and disobedient to parents. Then unthankful. The attitude of being unthankful is a sign that we're getting towards the end. As we get further from God, as a society, as a people, what happens is unthankfulness creeps in. The Bible says every perfect gift comes from above. God is the giver of all things. And when we remove Him, we become ungrateful for the very one who gives us all things. Even the breath that we have comes from Him, Colossians tells us. The fact that you're here this morning is a gift from God. Don't take it for granted. I remember over the years of talking with folks who have aged, and they're like, oh, if only I had known. Right? The golden years, I'm finding out, aren't always quite so golden. You know, I think it was last Sunday night I shared and got some Snickers. I saw a meme. I mean, I always thought it was kind of funny until I started creeping up there in age. You know, they said, look, everything's all fun and games, but about 45, your check engine light comes on. And anything after 50 is maintenance. Like, oh, wow. And I was like, ah! And I'm like, oh, man. Oh. The other day, I was sitting in the chair. I'm not going to go. But it's funny how things change. I was sitting in my chair, and I got up, and my shoulder popped. And my daughter across the room was like, Dad, what was that? I was like, oh, nothing. It's just the way it is now, you know. We have so much to be thankful for, but when we take our eyes off the Lord, ungratefulness sinks in. And so many things go along with that. When we remove a thankful heart, it has a corrosive effect on the rest of your life. It's like removing vital pieces from the puzzle. Does anyone ever remember playing the game Jenga? Remember when that was the big thing? You got the style of sticks and you pull them out. When we're unthankful, it's like removing the pieces. And our lives are crumbling because of that. It affects us in so many different ways. So I got three areas that having a thankful heart helps us. But the flip side as well, as we remove these things and we're not thankful for these things, then the opposite effect takes place. First one, having a thankful heart brings peace. There's few things that we need more in this world than peace. Not as the world gives peace, right? Jesus says, I give peace, not as the world gives it, right? We think of worldly peace as a lack of hostilities, right? Right now they're saying, oh, we need peace in the Middle East because there's a war going on. Well, even before the missiles were being shot, there was not peace. Because the hearts were battling. Hatred was stewing. Right? So on the outside, you can all hear how peaceful it was. No, there was all this turmoil going on inside. We look at our nation and our education system, of what we're teaching our children. There is not peace. The United States is so filled with division and hatred. That doesn't take much. Just kind of scratch the surface and it just bubbles right up. I don't know if you've been on the receiving end of that. Just over since COVID, I've made a practice, you know, I'm going through line or I'm doing all that. And I come to the cashier and I just tell them, I said, just take a breath. I'm in no hurry. I'm in no rush. And you see this eye, they're like, oh, thank you. Now don't worry about it. And so many times you hear back how brutal people are to the cashiers, to the stock person, of all these things, because it's just underneath the surface. It doesn't take much to bring this up. But being a Christian, to have Christ in your life, he brings peace because of a thankful heart. Look what he says here in Colossians chapter 3. It says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be what? Thankful. Paul does this link between peace and being thankful. Because if I don't spend all my time looking and thinking about all the things I don't have, but instead focus on the things I do have, it changes our attitude. If we become so busy of doing what we're supposed to do, we don't have time to do what we're not supposed to do. Paul tells this to the Philippians. He says, finally, brother, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. If there's any virtue, if there's any praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the peace of God will be with you. I challenge you to put this on a post-it note, on a card, and post this on your computer, on your phone, somewhere, and as you're going through, looking at Facebook or whatever social media you tend to go through, ask yourself, is this helping me think on these things? Or is it causing me to think of other things? And it was funny because I was writing this up and I'm like, man, this is a long list. Right? Things that are true, that are noble, that are just, that are pure, that are lovely, of good report. Right? The list goes on. So pastor, how am I supposed to think about all these things? The key is, when you're thinking about all these things, looking for these things in life, you do not have time for all the other garbage to let it sink in. My son-in-law is a dairy farmer. And it was funny, on the farm they had, I think it was four boys. And we're asking them, you know, having four boys and raising four boys, how much trouble did they get into? And the father kind of grinned, he goes, they got up at 3 o'clock in the morning to do chores before they milked. They'd finish up just in time to go to school. After school, they had football. After football, they came home, did evening chores, and milked again. He goes, my kids didn't have time to get in trouble. They didn't have energy. When they went to bed, they went to bed. Folks, one of the luxuries we have is time sometimes. And how do we use that? We squander it on things that aren't lovely, that aren't true, that don't build up. And I'll tell you, these little demon thoughts get in our head. Can I tell you the most dangerous place in the world to be caught up to is in your own head? Right? I find out in my life, I'm feeling miserable, I'm having a bad day, and I withdraw. And then I get caught up here. And it's not a good place. You feed on the negative. You dwell on the bad. You think of all the things you don't have and what everyone else has, and you become ungrateful. And what happens? You lose your peace. But by focusing on the Lord and all He has done, and look for Him, praise Him for what He has done, it changes us. The anxieties of this world fade off. Actually, Paul tells the Philippians, be anxious for nothing. Are you anxious? Well, Pastor, you don't understand. There's so much going on. I remember years ago talking to a lady, and she was all in a panic. And she's like, Pastor, you just don't understand all the things that's on my plate, all the responsibilities I have. She goes, look, I've been working towards this nervous breakdown for a long time, and I deserve it. I'm like, all right. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. So what do I do with this anxiety? But by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let requests be known to God. What do I do with this anxiety? What do I do with these things that are outside my control? I go to God. And I pour it down on Him. I open my heart to Him. And I let Him deal with it. And then what? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Jesus Christ. Now, I can't do anything about the Middle East. Okay, God, it's yours. You know, we just had that horrible shooting in Lewiston. And the fear was, okay, this guy's out there somewhere. Where is he? I had no control. Lord, I give it to you. This is my request. And Lord, I want wisdom. But so much that we are anxious over, I find out we don't have much control over. And maybe I'm just getting cynical in my old age. But I really don't think the people in Washington really care what I think. Or even Augusta. Okay, Lord, I'll do my part. You know, for the abortion bill, I went down, shared the 1 minute they gave me. And Lord, that's all I can do. And I give it to you. And Lord, give me peace in that. Being thankful, Lord, for what I can do, when I can do it. Be thankful for what I have. Focus on those things, and the peace of God will come into your life. Having a thankful heart not only brings peace, but brings a song. You can say, please, Pastor, don't sing to us this morning. The way he says here in verse 16, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. A song in your heart. Folks, there's a joy in serving the Lord. Now, some of you are more musical than others. You guys know my musical abilities. I've concluded the only way I will make any money ever singing is that I have people pay me to stop. Have a concert, come on in, lock the doors, and take you $20 to get out. I'd make a fortune. But notice what it says. In your heart.
And folks, being thankful puts joy in your heart. And I think that's what he's talking about here. A joy in your heart. You guys remember that this being an old Sunday school song? I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Well, okay, I was going to say, if you guys, all right, you're slacking here, right? You guys know, right? I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart, right? Down in my heart. And I always like my favorite verse of that. The devil doesn't like it. He can sit on attack. I don't know if you guys know that or not. But there is something to be said that, look, when the world is in turmoil, when the world is weighing you down, right, it's all pushing on the outside, that you can have a joy in your heart that sustains you and carries you through. The psalmist says this, and I recall to remembrance my song in the night. And I love that. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes a diligent search, a song in the night. Some of you go to bed and the recording of your mind just plays over and over and over. You toss and turn. And you're thinking of all the what ifs, the could ifs, the would ifs, and the weight of the world just plays. I want to encourage you, seek out the Lord. Notice what it says, search him. Spend that time to count your blessings. Spend that time to think of whatever is good, whatever is lovely, whatever is righteous. Think of those things. Turn your mind into that. Don't let the negative thoughts haunt you and carry in. And pray, Lord, give me a song in the night. We see this laid out in the book of Acts. We have Paul and Silas who are arrested for preaching the gospel. They're thrown in the prison. They've been beaten and bruised. And in the depths of the prison, in the depths of the darkness, of the dampness, of the weight of it all, it says that having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. How in the world could Paul have songs in the night? He's been beaten, he's chained, he's persecuted. He could have said, woe is me, but he didn't. He praised God. And God gave him a song in the night. And I love this because all other prisoners were listening to him. What an effect, what a change that has on others. Ephesians tells us, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Fill me, Lord, with your songs. Uplift me with praise of you, of blessings towards you. We live in a day and age where we have such a diversity of music. You can get it online, you can get it on the radio, you can do all that. God can use all of that, except for that rap. I don't know, that's not true. But all these things, right? God uses these things in our life to imprint in us. And music does this amazing thing. It almost seems to penetrate beyond our thoughts straight to the heart. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Psalm 96 is all about singing unto the Lord. It says, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among the peoples. Sing praises to the Lord. Let the heavens rejoice and the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. When all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth, and he will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples of his truth. Be filled with the joy of the Lord. And even then, I pray in all these things we look at, we rejoice in, Lord, you're coming again. This is not the end. There's a better day coming. You know, today really stunk. Today was hard. But this isn't how your story ends. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's a better day. There's a hope. Turn to him. Lastly, having a thankful heart brings peace. Having a thankful heart brings a song. The last one, it brings a purpose. That's what he says here in Colossians. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In a practical sense, folks, God gives you, you are here for a reason. You are here for a reason. Serve him. Do all that you do for his glory. Corinthians says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Folks, what you're doing is not for this world. What you're doing is not for your boss. It's not for your family. Whatever you do it for the Lord. And he sees and he knows and he cares. Ephesians says this, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, with sincerity of heart. Right? Your boss, those you are under, as you're following these things, right? Do all you can, not for their glory, but as the Christ, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service, as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord. Whether you're a slave or a free. That in your life, as you are serving him, God knows. You know, this world is very unthankful, ungrateful. But you know what? I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing it for my Lord. Each day, Lord, fill me with a desire to do what I want to do for you. And the Lord will give us that peace, that song, as I am thankful for the opportunity for another day to show his love to someone else. Folks, I just want to encourage you to be thankful. Be thankful. Lord, fill me with thanks within my heart. Let's open our hearts to him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask you, give us thankful hearts. Help us to keep our eyes upon you, Lord. Help us not be ungrateful for all the things you've done in our lives. Fill us with your joy, Lord. We ask this in your name.